Are you seeking fulfillment for your life? Do you want freedom from fear? That's why we're here. Welcome to Jesus 101, introducing you to the real Jesus. And now, here's your host, Elizabeth Talbot, with Mike Tucker.
I'm Mike Tucker.
And I'm Elizabeth Talbot.
So Elizabeth, the story of your friend who lost his child is really appealing to me. I'm not so much appealing as it really strikes fear in my heart. Although I'm an empty nester now, my wife and I are empty nesters, I can still remember the day when my children were small and we were always trying to keep an eye on them. And the thought of losing one of them where we had no idea where they were is panicking to me.
Yes, and my friend was telling me that those 2 hours while they were looking for the child eventually had gone with a friend or something.
Right.
But you know, the closest I ever came to that was I had a tortoise, you know, that I had since I was a little girl, and I had her for 30 years.
30 years?
Yes, and one day we went to visit somebody in a golf course, and they actually thought they had a fence that was good enough.
Right.
But the tortoise escaped. And how do you look for a tortoise in a golf course?
Well, it's not a very easy thing to do.
And I remember my desperation, you know, because the tortoise was my pet. And I went house by house.
This may explain a lot about you, that your pet is a tortoise. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I kept throwing sticks to the tortoise, and the tortoise wouldn't run.
It wouldn't bring it back. I don't understand this. But anyway, this is your pet, all right?
That's right. This is my pet, and I love her. Yeah.
You've lost this tortoise that you love so much, so desperately. So did you ever find the tortoise?
Well, I went house by house. I was surrounding that golf course.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I lost the tortoise, and they were looking at me like,
yeah.
Yeah, okay. So one lady says, oh, yes, we found her. And she had her in her house. And it was like a reunion between my tortoise. And I hugged her, and she hugged me back. No, I'm just kidding. I hugged her.
And the lady said, we found her. We found your tortoise. We found her.
Yes.
I'm sorry, but this is just a strange story.
Well, actually, I loved my tortoise, and my desperation for her, you know, is interesting because we talked about parables, and God uses a parable of a man that loses a sheep.
That's true.
You know, so it's not that way off, Mike, okay?
No, okay, all right. I stand corrected then. But
okay.
He does use a sheep in order to describe his feeling about that which is lost.
That's right. And it would be important to remind ourselves of, remember the five discourses that we talked about? The first one was the kingdom's manifesto in Matthew 5-7. The second one was Matthew 10. That was talking about the mission of the kingdom. And then the one that we did not long ago, Matthew 13, which were the metaphors of the kingdom.
And now we're talking about the fourth discourse, which has to do with the community of the kingdom.
That's
how it is that we live in community with one another.
And you might remember that this is Matthew chapter 18, because a lot of people talk about Matthew 18. You know, they say, hey, do a Matthew 18 with that person. Do a Matthew 18. So
that's
today you're going to see what that means.
That's right. And here we start with verse 12 of this parable of the lost sheep in Matthew chapter 18. It says, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep, and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off.
Yeah, and if it turns out that he finds it, he says he really, really rejoices over it.
That's right.
And what we don't remember usually is that this parable precedes the discipline section.
That's right.
We talked about.
What to do if your brother sins against you, that you go to him, and if that doesn't work, you go to him with someone else from the church, and if that doesn't work, then you bring in the elders of the church.
Yes, most people don't understand that right before it, Matthew says, look, before you go to talk to anybody about their sin, and don't forget that this is a redeeming conversation.
Right.
You're trying to bring them back, not to kick them out.
So if someone has indeed sinned, Jesus says, this is my lamb. This is my precious one whom I have lost, and I will leave the 99 behind if necessary for a while in order to find that one which was lost.
That's right. And it says, if you are one of those brothers that realizes one is lost,
then help me find it.
You are the one that is going out and getting it because you are my representative.
That's right.
So you're going to get this lost sheep and bring it back, and so we can all rejoice.
So idea about how to treat someone who has sinned against you is not a matter of disciplining them, not a matter of kicking them out as much as it is a matter of redeeming them and finding that lost lost sheep, bringing them back to the fold so that there can be unity again in God's house.
That's right. You know, this visualization of God as a shepherd comes mm-hmm. from the Old Testament in many places. We talked about it in the first programs of how this was Jesus was like David and David had been a shepherd.
King. That's right.
And so many of you know Psalm 23, where David is the one talking to God saying, mm-hmm. God is my shepherd, yes. the Lord is my shepherd. But probably Ezekiel 34, where we took you last time, is a good chapter to understand the metaphor of God as a shepherd. Mm-hmm. Do you remember how God says, look, the shepherd of Israel, he says at the very beginning, have not been doing their jobs, so I'm going to take over. You want to read verse 11 and 12?
I'd be delighted to do that. For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness.
I have to go to verse 15 because we haven't done it yet. And all of you that keep following our programs, remember the word rest, where mm-hmm. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Mm-hmm. Well, verse 15 says, I will feed my flock and I will give them rest, and uses the word anapausis, where the same word that when Jesus says, I will give you rest.
Come unto me and I will give you rest.
That's right. And then God reveals how he's going to shepherd his people, through whom. And so verse 23 and 24 are the ones that talk about the new David, because this is many years after David, the new David that would come, that would shepherd the people of God.
Yes, it says, I will place over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will tend them. He will tend them and be their shepherd. I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David will be the prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken.
And so this is the tradition behind Jesus constantly saying that God is like a shepherd and that he does look for the lost sheep and that he's actually desperate. The more lost you are, the more desperate God is for you.
You know, as I have studied about the 23rd Psalm and as I've studied this, the parable of the lost sheep, you can't help but find the information about how close a relationship there was between shepherd and sheep in those days. First of all, in the West, we tend to drive sheep. We have sheep dogs, but that's not how it was done in Palestine.
No.
The sheep followed the shepherd. They knew his voice. He would sing, he would call to them, and they would always follow him. In fact, a lot of flocks, different flocks, were grazing in the same area. The way the shepherds separated the sheep was they would form a circle around all these united flocks, and each one of them would start to call or sing, and the sheep would go directly to the shepherd.
That's awesome. What a beautiful visualization.
And Jesus said, my sheep know my voice.
That's right.
And they come to me. They follow me.
That's right.
So the shepherd would lead his sheep, and there was a close, tender relationship between the shepherd and the sheep. So when one was lost, he knew which one it was.
That's right. So that's why Jesus says, look, before you go to talk to your brother, mm-hmm. remember who this brother is.
This is my precious sheep, my little lamb.
That's right.
I know this name, and I care for this lamb. I would sacrifice my life for
it. God's desperation for me is one of the new paradigms that I had to learn, because, you know, the view of God being stern and I have to go to him and maybe he'll take me is exactly opposite to this. Yeah. God is after me. He's desperate for me. He's seeking me out.
That is a brand new thought to most of us. In fact, one of the places where I learned this was in an Old Testament word for love is hesed or chesed, depending upon who transliterates this word. It's a word so rich in its meaning, it takes at least 26 English words to, to translate. And it basically has a fanatical love. That's basically how you could translate it.
I'm crazy for you.
That's exactly it. And in fact, it's such a strong word for love that you never use it for a man's love for a woman or a woman's for a man or even a woman's for her children.
It's only from God to us.
That's right. That's the only time that is used, because that's the only love that is strong enough, that is fanatical enough.
Yeah, that's incredible. And you know, this whole chapter then becomes about forgiveness, because this is the parable that frames in some ways this talk about forgiveness.
That's right.
Because after this section that is usually called the discipline section, which is wrong, because this is not about discipline. This is
about
redeeming. Yeah,
and
correct.
Redeeming.
That's right.
That's right.
Then after this, Peter comes up and says, so if somebody is, you know, does something against me, how many times should I forgive
them?
Should I forgive them at least seven times?
Yeah.
You know, he thinks he's doing really good, because usually
three times is about what the Pharisees said, wasn't it? Three times and you're done.
And
you know?
Jesus says, what kind of math did you learn? You know, let me teach you kingdom math 101.
That's right.
70 times 7. And I can almost see Peter calculating. He says, no, Peter, it's not about 400 and whatever. I'm just telling you, it's limitless.
Limitless. You never stop forgiving. As long as there's a request, you never stop forgiving. forgiving, because God never stops forgiving us.
That's right. And this is, how do I treat my failing brother? And we're going to see this in another program. Mm-hmm. But here it says, look, with tenderness, you go after them as the lost sheep. And let me tell you, listener, if you have ever been lost and away from God, man. This is the message you must know, that God is absolutely crazy, desperate for you, like my friend was for his son. I mean, my friend, when he talks about it, still fills up with tears because he doesn't even want to remember how they searched for this child, how desperate it was.
And that's how God feels about us. He calls himself our Father. And that means that he has a love for us that is stronger than any earthly father has ever had for his children.
And that's why it's so important to understand that God made us in his image. I mean, the word image is the same one that it, later on it says Adam have a child in his image.
That's right. We look like our daddy, and our daddy is God the Father.
And God is desperate for us. I mean, if you have children, you know, I hope you never had to know the desperation of losing them for a moment. But not long ago, I saw this woman that her child was being kidnapped, and her desperation, grabbing to the car, not letting go.
Hanging on.
Yes, in her hands. Were hurt in that process. Mm-hmm. And I said, this looks like Jesus. His hands were hurt
in the process
of saving us. And, you know, he would do anything because he wouldn't go through eternity without me.
The bottom line is this: God is desperate for you. He loves you. He is absolutely crazy for you. And he will stop at nothing to get you back.
Thank you for joining us today on Jesus 101. For more insights and resources, connect with us at Jesus101.tv. That's Jesus101.tv. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Jesus101Institute and follow us on Twitter at Jesus101 Media. Until next time, live free.
Woohoo!